have a thing here. Great, I can read it. It's fair to say that Hollywood loves a good biopic. Now, listen, biopic. I'm going to say biopic.
All right, so go on, yeah.
Think about it. Malcolm X, Evita, Veronica Guerin, Capote, Nixon, Gandhi, Lawrence of Arabia, Senna. Right now in cinemas, we've got Mike Leigh's Portrait of the Artist Turner, The Imitation Game about World War II, Codebreaker Alan Turing, and there's also Jimi Hendrix biopic out that we talked about at the program yesterday, All Is By My Side. Actually, I was talking to it was fun, yes, because he's in the movie, Aveen, who was on yesterday, who was Nietzsche's wife. Anyway, what makes a good biopic is the question I want to ask you, Brian, at 51552, if anybody else has a better answer than Brian. How reliable are they in terms of painting a true picture of the person? Should they be painting a true picture of the person? Is it just one little point of their life, whatever it's been? Film critic Brian Lloyd.
Hello. I love that film critic. When they say that out loud, I get a little bit and kind of look over my shoulder for somebody else.
I don't like that word film critic. That phrase is ludicrous. It's a film fan who happens to write about it. Anyway, go on. Brian, tell me. Basically, what makes a good one?
I suppose isn't there that old kind of saying about screenwriters that it has to be basically the most interesting part of their life or the most interesting week of their life, and if it's not that, well, then they shouldn't be writing about it. But it doesn't necessarily have to be about people you've heard of, you know, that kind of way. Some of the best biopics are basically about people you've never heard of. Like, you remember Serpico in 1973?
Yeah,
with Al Pacino. Yeah, that guy was basically unknown before that film came out. But yeah, everything he did in that film was really well documented. Like, it was all about the corruption in the New NYPD police, and all that. Yeah, exactly.
I would imagine that Alan Turing, 70-80% of the people have never heard of him.
Yeah. But then again, the fact that he basically invented the modern computer, and here we are sitting in a room surrounded by them, you know, that sort of way. But it doesn't necessarily have to be about, about somebody that is really well known. Again, Oscar Schindler and Schindler's List, up until, the film by Spielberg, he was largely unknown outside of, academics and stuff like that. But then on the flip side, I suppose you have somebody Gandhi or Lawrence of Arabia, who everybody knew, but it's more about giving the film a window into their mindset and what happened behind some of the scenes, some of the most pivotal moments in history, that kind of thing.
Okay, look, I'm going to give you a little bit of a blast on the one that's there now at the moment that everybody's talking about, which is the Alan Turing story, which is the Codebreaker story, which is Benedict Cumberbatch.
That's what you're doing here, the top secret program at Bletchley. You're trying to break the German Enigma machine.
What makes you think that?
It's the greatest encryption device in history, and the Germans use it for all major communications. If the Allies broke Enigma, well, it would turn into a very short war indeed. Of course, that's what you're working on. But you also haven't got anywhere with it. If you had, you wouldn't be hiring cryptographers out of university. You need me a lot more than I need you. I like solving problems, Commander. And Enigma is the most difficult problem in the world.
Charles Dance and, Benedict, indeed. Okay, we're talking there about the Imitation Game. So, are they a true representation of life? Should they be? Or are they just telling a story like any other damn movie?
I don't know. I suppose it kind of depends on the central character. But, you talk about somebody like Alan Turing, his greatest work was kept hidden for about 50 years and he died in infamy, a terrible, terrible death that happened to him, that he was chemically castrated and all the rest of it. And then you look at somebody like, People versus Larry Flint with Woody Harrelson, and Larry Flint was known as a porn king, but I don't think a lot of people realise that he was actually, he was and still is one of the most staunchest defenders of free press and all the rest of it, and transparency in government. And then you look at something like Amadeus with F. Murray Abraham. Remember that film in the 80s?
Yeah.
And that's kind of conjecture, that kind of way. They know that, Mozart was in Vienna.
The movie was basically the jealousy that he had towards Mozart.
The jealousy. But there's nothing documented to say that the two of them had this massive rivalry or jealousy or anything like that. All they know is that there was these two composers in Vienna at that time, and Mozart replaced the previous guy, that kind of F. Murray Abraham's character. But
Salieri.
Antonio Salieri. Did you ever see him?
I did, it's great. But what about even the length of a movie? Sometimes, here's a perfect example. Look, in fact, the movie title tells you everything here.
Go on.
It's just 1 week in the life of Marilyn Monroe.
Do you love
Yes.
You're like some Greek goddess to me.
I'm not a goddess. I just want to be loved like a regular girl.
Well, Mr. Miller loves you.
No, I found his notebook. He said the most horrible things about me.
Writers, they scribble all kinds of things. It doesn't mean anything.
No, he wanted me to find it. He said said he wished he'd never married me.
Why do the people I love always leave me?
I'll never leave you.
Where, like, you like or don't like it, whatever, if there was a story supposedly of some bloke working on a movie when she came over to do it, Laurence Olivier in London, and she makes this movie, and this guy who happened to be working on the movie happened to spend a week with her on that, and they make a movie out of it. That kind of thing, just one little snippet of somebody's life.
Yeah, that's it. Like, there was another one as well, Lincoln, that one from last year with Daniel Day-Lewis.
That's true, actually, yeah.
Yeah, that was basically just...
It wasn't his whole life.
It wasn't his whole life, no. It was meant to be originally his whole life, but they cut it down to him trying to basically abolish slavery and the addition to the 14th Amendment. And do you remember Saving Mr. Banks last year? That was all about Walt Disney.
It was all about one movie. One person who wrote a book and didn't want to turn into Mary Poppins.
Yeah,
whatever,
exactly. Yeah. But then again, like, I mean, there are other films, you know, like there's Malcolm X and Gandhi, which, like, Jesus, nearly 4 hours long, and it literally takes everything in. So it doesn't necessarily have to be an entire section of a person, or it doesn't have to be an entire life. It can be just like smaller little sections.
Even a Ben Kingsley as Gandhi.
It's gone beyond remedies like passive resistance.
If I may, I for one have never advocated passive anything. I'm with Mr. Jinnah. We must never submit to such laws, ever. And I think our resistance must be active and provoked. May I? I want to embarrass all those who wish to treat us as slaves. Thank you. All of you. Forgive my stupid illustration.
Allow me.
No, please. But I want to change their minds, not kill them for weaknesses we all possess.
And what resistance would you offer?
The law is due to take effect from April the 6th. I want to call upon the nation to make that a day of prayer and fast.
You mean a general strike?
I mean a day of prayer and fast.
A day of prayer and fast. Gandhi, now, Ben Kingsley.
Ben Kingsley.
How important is physical similarity between the actor and supposedly what we know of the character? Because sometimes we don't necessarily.
I don't think it's that important. I mean, obviously it's a help, but I don't think it's that important. Yeah. Like, you look at somebody like Anthony Hopkins, like, he actually initially rejected the role of Nixon, that Oliver Stone
one. He was great as Nixon.
And he was brilliant. Yeah,
he didn't necessarily look like him.
Didn't look like him at all. Like, I mean, okay, fine, like, he had kind of like the eyes and the haircut or whatever, and he had the kind of the physical presence of him, you know, that kind of way they kind of shuffled around and all the rest of it, but he didn't really look like him at all. And then you look at somebody like Michael Sheen, who, you know, in Frost Nixon, he didn't look anything like David Frost, but yet he was able to get the mannerisms down, he was able to get the speech pattern down, and
he did a bit, though.
Do you not think
he looked a bit, he got all that together brilliantly, but he even did a bit. He was that type of kind of BBC 60s kind of guy, you know.
Michael Sheen was already, you think?
No, he was, in terms of the way he played him.
Oh yeah,
I think he got him kind of more. I think you're wrong.
Really? Did you not like Frost Nixon?
No, I thought it was great. But you're saying he wasn't necessarily like David Frost.
No, I'm saying he didn't look like him. I'm saying he didn't look like him.
I didn't. Okay.
Alright. Well, I'll give you another one, right? Tom Cruise. Remember that film Valkyrie about the plot to kill Hitler?
But did we know what he was supposed to have looked like?
He apparently, they have a picture of the original guy, Count von Stauffenberg.
Let's be really cruel about this. Nobody really cares about that, though, what he looked like.
Nobody cared. But, like, they looked very similar, and apparently Tom Cruise actually signed up because he looked like him. Yeah. He saw a picture of him, and he was like, oh, yeah, we're going to get you to play this guy. And Tom Cruise was like, oh, you look exactly like him. I'll totally play that. And the film was crap. So there you are, like. And Jim Carrey as well, like, he didn't really look anything like Andy Kaufman in Man on the Moon, but
that was Jim Carrey's finest role.
You think?
He was hilarious. That was when he did the thing on the television program where he was doing the really weird stuff. It was just
Did you remember? Would you have seen Andy Kaufman back in the day?
No, I never
knew Taxi,
Andy Kaufman at all. No, we're just talking about the person.
Oh yeah,
I never even saw Taxi. It was fantastic.
Taxi was brilliant, though.
Yeah, all right, okay.
You're like, no, weird. Honestly, it was.
I know. Everyone tells me it was.
But
I've never seen Seinfeld or any of those things.
I remember we talked about this before. Like, you missed basically all the 80s and 90s TV because you were here working.
Exactly. Man, exactly.
I remembered.
Where were we?
Yeah, no, we're just talking about, like, physical similarities. Like, you look at, like, Matthew McConaughey in Dallas Buyers Club. Like, he dropped a ton of weight to play that AIDS activist, Ron Woodruff.
And does anybody know what Ron... Sorry, why are we looking at why they both look like? But did he look like Ron Woodruff?
Obviously he was an AIDS victim and all the rest of it, and he was, you know, skeletal frame and all the rest of it.
Give me a blast of that, Dallas Buyers
Club. What are you doing here?
Well, I live here.
Where's Rayon? The roommates?
Not exactly. What are you doing here?
Roger Thompson. This is my patient. You treating these people?
Oh, they're treating themselves.
With what?
Vitamins, peptide T, DDC, anything but that poison you're hawking. So you ever wear any colors? feel like every time I see you, all I see is white. You got white coat, white shoes, white...
Tell Rayon I was looking for him, and I am telling my patients to stay away from here.
Dallas Buyers Club, he's playing Ron Woodruff, it is, that's Matthew McConaughey. So go on, tell me more.
And you were talking there off the air about the Texan draw. Well, the best one I think was John Wayne. He played Genghis Khan in this really awful film in the 60s about the Golden Horde and all this.
Did he not look like Genghis Khan?
Do you honestly think John Wayne would look like Genghis Khan? And he's walking around like the steps, like the Russian steps, and he's got like that real Texan, like, how you all doing? You know, he's got like the, he's even blacked up and everything, like, you know, that kind of way. That's how bad it was.
People were less demanding in those days.
Yeah, but there's demanding, and then there's like, Jesus Christ, your man looks like he's just walked off a ranch, and we're supposed to believe he's like the leader of the Golden Horde, like in Kublai Khan and all this. Like, it's just like, there's, yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah, there mightn't have been as, I don't know, a stickler for detail, but there's a stickler for detail, and then there's like, Jesus Christ, he looks nothing.
When you
like
mentioned Schindler's List earlier, yeah, on Liam Neeson, did he, why am I still looking on the who looks like what? But did he look like,
yeah, I think
Oscar
he did. Yeah, I've seen, I remember when I was doing research for this, I looked at pictures of the real, yeah, Oscar Schindler. He looked like a big, big man, like 6'6", like, you know, right, kind of, yeah, had that kind of, maybe not the broken nose that Liam Neeson had, but like, he, like, strong features, like, you know, that kind of way. They were very similar.
Let's take a blast of them.
I could have got more out. I could have got more. I don't know if I just... I could have got more.
Oscar, there are 1,100 people who are alive because of you. Look at them.
If I made more money... I threw away so much money. You have no idea. If I just...
There will be generations because of what you did.
I didn't do enough.
He did so much.
That's Ben Kingsley talking,
yeah,
about it there.
Again,
well,
yeah.
Actually, he's just a matter of interest on the Man on the Moon thing. Andy Kaufman, I probably knew as much of an R.E.M. song as I ever did. But just give me the trailer and see if we get anything from it, because I really do think it's Jim Carrey's finest moment.
Hello, I am Andy.
I want to be the biggest star in the world.
Your act is like amateur hour.
And I'm not like everybody else.
I really like what you did out there.
I'm not a comedian. I don't want to go for cheap laughs.
You jerk!
What's wrong with this guy?
They detest you.
That means we're a success.
40 million people are watching you every week.
Party time for latka.
Some of us at Saturday Night Live think Andy Kaufman's a comic genius.
Thank you very much.
You just don't respect anything.
You said some pretty inflammatory things.
I'm sorry.
I've always got to be one step ahead of them.
This guy is so obnoxious.
It's good old-fashioned entertainment, George.
Is Andy Kaufman crazy?
I'm just acting crazy.
He's just acting crazy. Okay, Andy Kaufman, that is Man on the Moon, and that is there with Jim Carrey. Now, we are talking to Brian Lloyd, film fan. So, Brian, tell us, do you have a favourite biopic, as I call it?
Well, I've a real draw for those old kind of old war movies, so I'm going to say Patton with George C. Scott, and he was playing Patton, and Carl Malden was playing Omar Bradley, and apparently Scott didn't sound anything like the real Patton. He had this real nasal, high-pitched voice, whereas Scott, you know, like, he sounded like sandpaper, like, you know, kind of way. And Francis Ford Coppola, who did The Godfather, he wrote that, and he ended up winning an Oscar for it. But I also liked, we were talking about it earlier, People versus Larry Flint, with Woody Harrelson as Flint. I think I love that film. That was done by Milos Forman, who did Man on the Moon as well. He did a load of biopics, actually. He did Amadeus, he did People versus Larry Flint, he did Man on the Moon,
did
and
One
he
Flew
did
Over the Cuckoo's Nest,
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's
off.
Nest and Taken Off, yeah, and he did that was Mike Nichols, but he did a load, who died this week as well, yeah. But he did a load of biopics, like, he's really known for them. I thought People versus Larry Flint, it got that perfect like mix of like humour and drama, and it was a real eye opener, like, about, like, you know, censorship and how we kind of look at sexuality.
And Courtney Love isn't
and
there
Courtney
as well.
Love, she's in all those ones though. She's
this
in like
People versus Larry Flint.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you've heard a lot here today, and I'm not going to try to go back over it all again for you, but you have to go back in that room and make some decisions. And there is one thing I want to make very, very clear to you before you do. I'm not trying to convince you that you should like what Larry Flint does. I don't like what Larry Flint does. But what I do like is that I live in a country where you and I can make that decision for ourselves. I like that I live in a country where I can pick up Hustler magazine and read it if I want to, or throw it in the garbage can if that's where I think it belongs. Or better yet, I can exercise my opinion and not buy it. I like that I have that right. I care about it. And you should care about it too. You really should. Because we live in a free country. You know, we say that a lot, but I think sometimes we forget really what that means. So listen to it again. We live in a free country.
Ed Norton, he lives in a free country. That's the People versus Larry Flynn. There's one there, yeah, everybody talks about that. Anytime you mention anything about John Wayne doing that kind of thing, or anybody talks about Hollywood getting those things wrong, you've gone for Genghis Khan. The usual one is on text there. It's, what about the end of the greatest story you ever told? John Wayne is the Roman soldier who pierces Jesus' side, exclaiming, surely this man is
a son of God.
Texan accent, indeed. Yeah, yeah. Low, the worst biopic ever. Capote. Philip Seymour Hoffman was great, but the film was boring. Good point.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah, I thought Capote was brilliant in it, but yeah, it was.
Patton. You mentioned that with Patton, that what do you call him, Francis Ford Coppola got an Oscar.
Yeah.
Didn't George C. Scott get the Oscar too, and he didn't go?
And he refused to take it. He refused to take it. He said that all like competitions like this was just against the whole concept of acting, because George C. Scott's kind of like that. He was always very kind of wordy and that kind of way.
Yeah, Patton famous, of course, for hitting a guy, saying, you know,
Yeah, apparently he hit a dude in like an infirmary or something like that. He had shell shock or something like that, and he like smacked him across the face, like, and called him a coward, and then he got like thrown off. Like, he was meant to be leading the attack on D-Day or something like that, and because of that, he got thrown off it. So there you go.
Right, okay. Well, I'll give you.
What's your favorite biopic?
10 seconds. God, I should have thought.
Put you on the spot there.
Out. Yeah, give me 10,000 and I'd pick one from it. I have no idea.
We'll keep moving. Is that clear? We're going to attack all night. We're going to attack tomorrow morning. If we're not victorious, let no one come back alive.
God, now you have me. I need to see a list of loads of people. And I'll tell you, I did like... it's not really a biopic, necessarily, but the one of Gilbert and Sullivan, Topsy Turvy, Mike Leigh's movie.
Oh, yeah.
Where he was just, it was really about the Mikado, just a backstage kind of movie. I absolutely loved that. But it's not really a biopic, is it? It's kind of a drama.
It's telling a story, like, you know.
That's 1999. Gee, first, what do you want one from this year? I can't... I don't know.
Did you see The Imitation Game? Did you like it?
I haven't seen The Imitation Game.
It's good. Yeah. I liked it. It was
Benedict
really good.
Is the man. You know, I've never seen Sherlock. Is he really that good?
He's really that good in Sherlock, yeah. It is. It's kind of like we were talking about like pulpy kind of entertainment. Like, Sherlock is really, really pulpy.
Do you know,
I did see
him there in that amazing dinner scene in, you know, Osage County or August.
Osage County.
He's so underused in that, but he's the man, isn't he?
Mm. He is. No, he's doing very, very well for himself. Yeah. Like, he's, you know, to start off as, you know, like a kind of unknown theatre actor, like with a weird name, and now he's everywhere. Like, you know, he's a household name at this stage.
Yeah,
so.
And the Cumber Bitches.
They call themselves Cumber Babes now, apparently.
Oh, Cumber Babes.
Cumber Babes, there you go, yeah. That's a little bit un-PC for this era of the morning.
Yeah, I'll tell you, like, I mean, Mark Zuckerberg, in terms of left, right or centre, or if it's right or if it's unfair or whatever, The Social Network was an era-defining movie for me. I thought that was one of the best things of the last 5 years.
Great soundtrack as well.
Maybe that. Yeah, great
Trent
soundtrack.
Trent Reznor,
indeed, who won the Oscar. Anyway, we're waffling at this stage because Larry's coming along to bring us through lunchtime as you make your way home, Ryan. You're going to listen to Larry.
Hope we got a will.
Okay. It's time to go. So we will. We'll see you next Saturday.